The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for the green scene on this World Oceans Day, and we're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You want to tell me about the biggest plant on Earth?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing that we're still finding these biggest things? We had the biggest fish nest a few months ago. So scientists in Australia were working looking at seagrasses. And seagrasses are an amazing plant, a saltwater plant that lives under the ocean. And they were looking in Western Australia in Shark Bay. And the type of seagrass they were looking at is called a ribbonweed. And they were sampling ribbonweeds from this vast area, over 200 kilometres. And what they found is the two samples were genetically identical, suggesting they were all part of a single plant. And that's indeed what they found. So this enormous plant stretches over 200 square kilometres, and it is home to all sorts of sea creatures like dolphins and dugongs and crabs. So the previously we thought the largest plant was some quaking aspen in Utah, but they're only a paltry half a square kilometre, absolutely dwarfed by this huge seagrass.
And how long do they think it took to grow so big?
Well, they grow about 35 centimetres a year. So this plant was probably came from a single seed over 4,500 years ago. And these plants are ancient. We know they can live for a very long time.
What's the difference between a seagrass and a seaweed?
But people do often think seagrasses are seaweed, but seaweeds are algae. And this is actually a flowering plant. Seagrasses have roots, they have stems, they have flowers, and they form these actually vast underwater meadows, which we can even see from space. And they're a really important plant for us because even though they only cover about 0.2% of the sea floor, they actually are responsible for holding and absorbing about 10% of the ocean's carbon each year. So they're an incredible tool that we could use in the fight against climate change.
Now, you mentioned Shark Bay there. We also want to talk about sharks and a huge shark that is now extinct. And perhaps scientists are beginning to understand why.
That's right. Anyone who's a fan of shark movies will have heard of this shark, the Megalodon, because there was a movie, The Meg, about it. It's the biggest fish. Again, we're on scale today. The biggest fish that ever lived. They grew to about 15 metres long and they really dominated the oceans around sort of 4 to 3 million years ago. And scientists were never quite clear why they became extinct when they were so dominant. And they've done new research looking at their teeth and comparing their teeth to great white shark. And they would have overlapped with great white sharks. And looking at the amount of zinc in the enamel of these sharks' teeth is able to tell scientists what they were eating. And we can see from this new research that essentially great white sharks and megalodons were probably competing for the same kind of food. They're both big. I mean, something like a megalodon is, you know, a great white shark's about a quarter the length of a tennis court. A megalodon would stretch way over the court, over the net in the middle of the court. So a shark like that's going to need to eat about 2 million calories a day. And you can imagine the great white being the more agile species nipping around, scooping up that food that the megalodon needed.
So that what was happening, they were cruising their way through the ocean, the megalodon, 50 metres long, not as agile, surrounded by all of these great white sharks who were able to, you know, relatively speaking, buzz around. So they come across a shoal of fish and these little snipers start gobbling everything up and the megalodon needs far more nutrition and it can't get enough.
Exactly. And like actually, that's often how we see extinctions happening. So I think this is even interesting in the present day. And, you know, we think about World Oceans Day. It is about our collective responsibility for the oceans. And sharks have been hugely damaged by humans. I mean, over 70 million sharks are caught every year for their fins alone. We know that climate change is damaging their habitat. So exactly like the Meg who ran out of food, we've also overfished our oceans, you know, competing with sharks for food. So, you know, I think this comes on at a timely way to say we actually need to think about nutrition for all of these large species because they will dwindle gradually, but then there just won't be enough of them to have sustainable populations.
So World Oceans Day, to remind us, I suppose, about the despoiling of our oceans, the pollution of our oceans, and the need to not overfish our oceans.
That's right. And I mean, coming back to the seagrass for a moment, I mean, we are lucky. We have beautiful seagrass populations here in Ireland. And the theme is actually about collective action. And our seagrasses around Wexford and Cork were being damaged by invasive species. And, you know, volunteers at Coastwatch went in at low tide and snorkeled and actually took by hand the invasive seaweed out to try and protect our own seagrasses. So I think that's a really nice story to think about on this World Ocean Day, when it is all about us taking collective action to protect our ocean. You know, let's start at home with our own oceans, but thinking about the broader oceans all over the globe that really we depend on.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.